Small Town Radio.
Dun, 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 dun.
Welcome to Small Town Radio, guys. You know us, so there's no intro. Just kidding.
Wow, taking away my thunder.
Really robbing you there. No,
that's my name this week, My Thunder.
My Thunder. And I am your host, Maxim, and this is My Thunder, my dear, sweet Thunder. It's like a horse's name.
I'll put it out there this week. My name is Connor Kvyachain, and I would like to address something. Someone listened to Small Town Radio for the first time last week and heard the name, my name last week. And I forgot how creepy that could sound without context of 40 previous episodes.
They were like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, yeah. but this is Small Town Radio. You can find us on 88.1 FM. To your local station with all the latest jammy jams and footsie pajamas.
you can find us. I love to put on my footy pajamas and listen to the radio.
My nightcap. You know, that's two things. You can have a nightcap and you can wear a nightcap.
There you go.
You can find us on Instagram at @stradiopod. From there, you can find the host social media links, and then you can email us talent suggestions and great compliments at smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com. And without further ado, we're going to send it over to our second DJ of the night.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Penis McBuddy, and we are going to...
My question is, what's creepier, having a host named Penis McBuddy or Dreamboat?
Dreamboat. I don't know. I feel like that would be on a radio station, like Penis McBuddy would be late night, and then like Dreamboat would be like 6 p.m., 7 p.m. host.
I think it's not. It's an example of it's not what you say, but how you say it.
Yeah, Penis McBuddy is like, welcome everybody, it's Penis McBuddy here with all the hits to start your morning. It is 3 a.m. somewhere.
You're a shock jock. I'm a late night DJ.
You know,
driving around being like, what happened to my love life?
I used to, after concerts in my old car, I didn't have like a radio and I had my Bluetooth speaker, and if the speaker would die, I would drive home and I'd listen to public jazz radio at like 1 or 2 in the morning. And it was always PJ. So intimate.
You'd listen to some PJ?
Some, yeah, public jazz, yeah.
What was the last part I stepped on a little bit?
It was just always so intimate, because what I always thought about, I'm like, this is a Denver station. And how many people are tuning in at 2 in the morning to public jazz radio? And the announcers, the DJs, are always so well-versed in jazz. They're like, all right, so the next piece we got for you guys today is a 1988 classic featuring so-and-so from this band and so-and-so on the bass. I think you'll love it. Thank you for tuning in. And I'm like, it is after midnight, and you are just holding it together like it's just a normal party routine.
I bet they were volunteers, too. That's the type of radio station it was.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you got to love jazz. I mean, I feel like to be a jazz, like, to be like an average talk show host, you just talk and then they just play the top 40. But to be a jazz guy, you got to know the jazz, which I don't.
You got to know the jazz. I want to put this out there before my next question. We are going to Kenton, Ohio, for those who are waiting with bated breath on the destination of our Google searches and Wikipedia. How's the open mic that you were just at? I know you were just there.
It was good. It's called the Boiled Chicken Mic. And it takes place in Central Park at Cherry Hill Fountain, which today I learned is the fountain from the Friends intro. And
oh.
It was good. We did two mics back to back there. I did the 6 p.m. and the 7 p.m. And it kind of started raining right after my set during the 7 p.m. So my girlfriend got through two jokes and then it started raining and everyone just got up and ran.
That is such a hypocritical thing to do. So hypocritical of everyone. Because the friend's intro goes, I'll be there for you when the rain starts to fall. Shame. Really? Shame, everyone.
I never watched Friends, so all I know is the I'll be there for you. I didn't know there was a second line. Honestly, in my brain,
I'll be the theme there song, for you when the rain starts to fall. I'll be there for... Let me look it up real quick.
In my brain, the theme song is just them repeating, I'll be there for you. That's it. But that's like definitely not right.
I think that's the first time I've used the word shame. Well, maybe. I don't know. I was more politically, not politically active. I guess school politics. Yeah, I was more active in college. But there's like such bigger things to shame for right now than being like, you violated the Friends song.
Yeah.
Lyrics.
And I want to... Oh, you got the lyrics up? You ready?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. Oh, I didn't even have it right. Shame on me. I'll be there for you like I've been there before. I'll be there for you because you're there for me too.
That's the whole song?
No, you want me to do the whole song? So no one told life was okay. Going to be this way. Clap, 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 clap. Your job's a joke. You're broke. Your love life DOA. Clap, 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 clap. It's like you're always stuck in second gear when it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. But refer to earlier sentence.
Okay, I guess I knew some of those lyrics, but I don't like Friends, so I just...
You don't like Friends? Is that in relation to the TV show or outside of it?
Oh, TV show for sure. No, the way I found out is that a group of people pulled up to the fountain and they were playing the Friends theme song. And then I had a moment where I was like, wait, is this the fountain? And then I looked it up and it's apparently the fountain or the fountain inspired the fountain and the theme song,
because which is funny. I imagine they filmed in LA.
Yeah, and what's weird about it though is like Cherry Hill Fountain is right next to Bethesda Fountain, which is like amazing. But you just go over this hill to the left, and you're at Cherry Hill Fountain. I'm like, why do we need two fountains here when one is so in like so much better than the other?
Great question. And I do want to clarify something for our listeners. There is the last stanza of the song just goes, I'll be there for you with no interlude. So maybe that's what you were thinking of. There is a verse without the when the rain starts to pour.
Okay. Well, we're learning about all types of facts on Small Town Radio today.
We're Friends Radio today.
Yeah, Friends Radio. I also want to throw this out there before we dive into facts. I actually started another podcast.
Woot, woot, this, woot.
So the new podcast is called I Hate Connor Cafia Chain. And
that's a good one. You're not the only one right now, apparently.
So I have guests on every week, and we talk about why we hate Connor for roughly 2 hours.
See, it's really interesting because the number of people who know my last name is very slim, and the amount of times I say my full name on this show is less than 50% of the episodes.
Yeah.
So yep. Like, who is this? Why aren't you talking about Dreamboat? Because I hate that guy.
Why is Penis McBuddy so mean to Dreamboat? But yeah, so actually my new podcast is called Don't Quit Your Day Job. Yes, I know there's a couple shows out there with that title. I didn't find them until after I set up all the accounts and the Instagram. But Don't Quit Your Day Job. It's a show where I'm just going to be interviewing people about their creative passions and the things they love doing. At the time of release of this episode, there will be an episode out with our friend Caleb Clark, who is on the show, talking about his clothing company and his like photography, music video work, animation, couple of things. And then also I got Lucas Arnold on after that. And Lucas Arnold, you may know him from TikTok, but he's a voice actor, actor, comedian. We talk about voice acting and acting versus comedy. It's very, and TikTok, of course. I made him do some voices, but yeah, so check it out.
It's super interesting because I saw on Lucas's page someone I recognized from the Orlando, Florida scene. And it was very surreal. It's being like, I know both of you independently of each other and no other way. But it's good for him. Good for Lucas for getting out of this scene and really making splashes elsewhere.
Yeah, even though he's committed to comedy. I think the TikTok just became a thing where it's like he just started doing it over quarantine and then exploded. And he's like, well, this is fun.
I mean, it's so important to get a fan base for stand-up.
Absolutely.
That's something I'm working on, like marketing, getting this stuff out there. So the fact that you can utilize your skills, go for it.
Yep. And I'm really hoping his episode drives a lot of traffic to my new podcast and not Small Town Radio. I'm just kidding.
He's been wanting to come on this show for a while. We just haven't got around to bringing guests back on.
Yeah. I think the guest thing right now with the remote recording is like a headache that I don't want to solve.
He could be on it. He has his own recording studio. We could just do this with him.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, as long as someone has a setup, we can get them. That's a conversation.
His audio would be so much better than ours, though, because he has a booth. On my other podcast, I thought about having on a podcaster so we could just like talk about podcasting and geek out about it. But man, it's too meta.
you want to go on our trip
to our favorite Ohio township?
Well, it's a city. Yeah. Why do I feel very British when I say that? Yeah. Yeah. Very British.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. It's a city.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, today we're going to Kenton, Ohio.
Ohio.
Why are we going to Kenton, Ohio? Well, today, Ohio listeners, I happened to be flying over your state on Google Maps and clicked a few. And here we are. So
I'm really glad I guessed that up top because I wasn't entirely sure.
Oh, yeah. It was a total random pick. So
I want to point out, actually, let's go through the deets first. Let's go through the deets.
So go for it.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So the location of Kenton, Ohio, that is the town Kenton, Ohio, is the west central part of Ohio, approximately 57 miles or 92 kilometers northwest of Columbus, the capital, and 70 miles or 113 kilometers south of Toledo. Elevation, which is the only one that really matters, 991 feet or 302 meters, which is very interesting. The rest are in kilometers, but it makes sense now that I think about numbers. Population, 8,262 at the 2010 census.
And 8,180 in 2019
estimate. Ooh, shrinkage. Cold weather up there.
Really shrinking. Yeah. Is Ohio cold?
I don't know. It's the Midwest, right?
Yeah. Which,
it's not West. Let's be real, folks.
No, it's the reason we talked about this in the show like 100 episodes ago or something, but there's a reason it's the Midwest, but it's not West.
Yeah. So you know how you said there the founder of the town is very interesting.
Over our text conversation.
Yes, yes.
Preluding the show.
I want to let you know I made this creative decision. I made the decision not to research this person so I could let you wash the facts over me and I could get some real-time reaction because I am...
That's a creative decision. That's you did your research late and you're like, he's got this one.
No, this is... You'll see. You're only half right. I want to be surprised. We've lost the surprise in this relationship. We both know everything we're going to say.
Yep. We used to not know what was coming, and now we do know what's coming.
Exactly. Do you want to start? Well, I can start with present day, because I figure you're going to go into the history of this thing.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so Kenton today is the county seat of Hardin County and the hub of five state routes. That is what it says on the website. I tried to look up more what it's about. Pretty much the big thing was five interstates go through it. That's...
Yeah, not interstates, five state routes. So highways.
Thank you for that. For many years, the city of Kenton has enjoyed an excellent working relationship with our township trustees and county commissioners, as the town website continues. And then I want to learn what I could do if I traveled there today. So here are the three top things to do according to TripAdvisor. Number one, Lawrence Woods State Nature Preserve, which sounds quite beautiful. Number two, if you're here, this is the second thing that you should do. Go to the Hardin County Courthouse. Number three, and I don't know if this has any relation to number two, go to the Kenton Grove Cemetery.
Woo.
I wonder if their main export is like funeral service or imports? Imports, right?
Importing funerals.
I guess, right? Because you're bringing people in. Number six on the list. I know I said top three, but number six is go to the Hardin County's Old Order Amish Country. And apparently they sell very good goods at seasonal prices.
Yeah. One of my things when I picked this area is I Googled largest Amish town in the U.S., but none of their towns are like official like towns that have information. So I just kind of picked something in the area where Amish people lived.
Fair. I would love after. Wow, why am I blanking on their name? The ones we did in New Hampshire, the Shakers.
Shakers.
The Shakers, yes. The Shakers, I would love to learn more about the Amish people, because the Shakers was some of the most fun research we did, I would say.
Yeah, I that was one of the episodes where I was like, I wish there was more. I want a 2-hour documentary on these people.
The Shakers, yeah.
So a little history here. So Kenton was originally the site of Fort MacArthur, erected in 1812 by Colonel Duncan MacArthur as one of the forts along the line of General William Hull's march against the British headquarters at Fort Detroit during the War of 1812. In 1845, Kenton was incorporated as a village, and it became a city in 1886. The city was named after frontiersman Simon Kenton.
Wouldn't it be interesting if his name was Simon Cowell? That's the first thing that pops into my head.
Simon Cowell. What does he do? He can't really do a Simon. I can't do a Simon impression because my Simon impression relies so heavily on me putting my thumb on my head and waving my hand like he does.
Does he do that?
Yeah, he like Randy is like, it's gonna be a no for me, dog. Yeah, and then Paula is drunk, and then Simon, he rests his hand on his head like when he's watching, and then when he's talking, he just flares out his fingers, so he does like a half moose type deal. Oh, I miss the days of American Idol at its like peak. It was good stuff.
Yeah. It was the number one show in America, at least for 1 year, if not for more.
It was like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it swept. You know, Survivor was also the number one show in America at one point.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah. Early 2000s, mid 2000s. It was that reality TV, reality TV. I don't know. It's not the same as reality TV, but it is reality TV.
You should follow through on your Survivor application, get on the show, and then your next podcast should be all about the ins and outs of Survivor.
I have two applications, and I promised my mom to make a third. So, yeah, I'm going to keep plugging away. I don't get why they don't want me.
I'm rooting for you so hard.
I'm rooting every, for you too.
They're like, oh, this guy is like a distance runner and a comedian and like a guy.
A hot dog eating contest champion. That's that the too. Whole premise of my second application.
Yeah. Yep. You should send in another one of you like jogging around and telling jokes and see how they like that.
I'm going to submit my name as Dreamboat next time.
There you go. Dreamboat Kafia Chain. All right,
I changed my first name, but not my last, because the first name was difficult.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna do some more history here now that we got some riffs in there before the block of information. So Simon Kenton was a frontiersman known for exploring the Ohio River Valley. He was born at the headwaters of Mill Run in the Bull Run Mountains on April 3rd, 1755. In Prince William County, Virginia.
Okay, so let me get this straight. He was 80 years old when the town decided to name itself after him?
Yeah.
Okay, the plot is thickening.
So in 1771, when he was 16 years old, he killed a man in a jealous rage over the love of a girl named Ellen Cummins.
We've all been there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we've all been there. I mean, at 16, I killed like two or three guys.
Yeah.
In a jealous rage.
One of them was me, and that's why this is a supernatural podcast.
Actually, there's a twist ahead. So Kenton, he fled into the wilderness of West Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio when those were wilderness. And he lived for years out in the wilderness under the name Simon Butler. And then he learned that the guy he thought he killed survived. And so he just went back to his normal name and like reintegrated himself.
What?
Yeah.
So there's no, was the statute of limitations done? Like, is that when did the state become a part of America? Ohio.
I don't know. But it basically, he like probably got into a duel or like beat some guy up super bad and was like, oh my God, I killed him. And then just ran without thinking. And then later he was like, oh my God, that dude's alive. Like he just like passed that guy at a coffee shop or something.
It was 1803. So when did he reintegrate? Or when did he commit this crime?
1771.
Yeah. So this is long before it was a state. So this is a territory law.
Yep.
That's wild. Like, I feel like that's almost worse because then there's, like clearly a witness now. Before, maybe not. And maybe everyone forgot about him. Like everyone's worst fear.
Yeah. So in September 1778, he was captured by Shawnee Indians, and he was tied with his hands bound to a wild galloping horse through the trees, and he was forced to run their infamous quarter-mile gauntlet, which they killed their prisoners by doing. So, like, it's just guys line up on both sides, you run down the middle, and they try to kill you. He ran
like
there
with what?
You know, like tomahawks and, like,
any
bow and arrow and whatever they
weapons
use
that fly through the air. Okay, so is this territory law coming back around or karma?
I think it might be karma, but he ran this gauntlet 9 times. And after the 6th like attempt, he tried to escape and then he had a hole hammered into his skull and he was unconscious for 2 days. They did it with an axe and a club, and his arm and collarbone were broken as well. The natives, they called him Cutahatha, which means condemned to be burned at the stake, which they also attempted 3 times. And then finally, in June 1779, he was able to escape, and after a 30-day march, he made it back to American settlements. And then the Shawnee respected him for his like endurance and they gave him his like name like Cutahatha, and he was actually adopted into the tribe by a woman whose own son had been slain. So he was like one of the rare he was probably the only, or like the first case of like a white settler being adopted into a native tribe because they just like wrecked him.
That's nuts. Like the only comparison I have, which is a very terrible, like not a great one, was Batman when he was, his back was broken and he was put in that pit and needed to climb out. Like that's the only thing I'm thinking of.
This is the rise of Simon Kenton. The Simon
directed
Kenton
by
rises.
Christopher Nolan.
Yep, exactly.
that's cultural appropriation, isn't it?
So yeah, that's the guy. It's the town is the city is named after. He served in the Revolution. He served in a couple other. He served in the French Indian War. Just kind of a military type guy. But that was the thing that really stood out to me. Him just surviving this crazy capture for a long time.
That's, I'm glad I get to learn that in real time. That is what I'll say. Nothing about my preparation.
Because you know, even though you're surprised, not surprised by what happens in this show, our listeners are technically surprised every second that passes in this show.
I wanted to be in their shoes. I wanted to be them. I do have a fact, though. I have two facts. I think one we probably both have, and I think I have an interesting one for you.
Ooh.
Okay. So that's the history. That's the name. That's the guy who this town was named after. Wait, actually, I do have one question. Why was he chosen?
For what?
The name.
Because he explored a lot of the area where the city is, like the Ohio River Valley.
This happened all before he was an explorer?
No, this was like during. He was like an explorer, soldier, kind of like a mix.
So he explored. That's the only, like, yeah, that's the connection.
He did like military service, and he also did a lot of exploring of this area. And yeah, so that's kind of it.
That's lackluster given the rest of the details.
Yeah. All right, what's your next fact?
Okay. Yeah, because I know we're getting closer to our time where we swap over. So my next fact is the name of the library. You know how I like names. I focus on names a lot in this. The name of the library in Kenton is the Mary Lou Johnson Hardin County District Library.
That's a mouthful. Wow.
Mary Lou Johnson Hardin County District Library. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 names. 7 names. If you're going to overkill with at least 7. Good job. You cleared that benchmark. But it was interesting, though. There's a fact beyond the name. I thought it was just going to point it out and move along, but no, the Kenton has one public library, which I mentioned, which was formerly located in a 1905 Carnegie library. And this sprung a big investigation. Because how can a library be formerly located somewhere else? Because I feel like the building is the library, right?
Right.
Well, the obvious answer after a bunch of research is the library is not the building. The library is the collection. So technically, right? That's the logic they're using. I have a library in my house.
As do I. It is one shelf in my room.
But what's really interesting is, so the Carnegie libraries were one of these 100, the Carnegies, who are known throughout American history, donated a bunch of money to develop libraries. And this Carnegie Library, the former Carnegie Library, was one of those places. And the Carnegie family donated $20,000 to aid in its construction. And it was built in 1853. And then it opened in 1886 after a bit of, whatever happens between that time. But given time, the library, which is the books and not the place, outgrew the building. And they actually moved the library out into the Mary Lou Johnson Hardin County District Library. But here's where it gets interesting again. What's now in the building, the place, is a dentistry practice called Kenton Dental Care. But in 1983, the library, the Kenton Public Library, was listed on the National Register of Historic Places. So you have this whole convoluted mix of the library being the books and the National Registry of Historic Places calls the library a historic place, but the library itself is no longer there, but the building is, and it's a dentistry practice. So it's this whole...
Wow. That's like it's, the... It's like
it
the
feels like the beginning of
thing.
National Treasure. Yeah. That's, there's a clue here.
Like the it's like a shake it's like a shake off clue where it's like go to the library and then real historians are like, oh, go to where the books are, but everyone else always goes to the building and they're like, there's no clue here, but the clue is in the texts in the library that's no longer there. It's like it reminds me of like it's the replacement paradox where it's like they donate a building with books and that's the library.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
move, if you were to replace every book in there, is it still the same library?
It's
if
like the ship.
Yeah.
Like when you rebuild the ship with wood.
Exactly. And it's like, so then if you move the library to another building and it contains the library, that building's the library, but then you have the first library. And if you were to populate the first building with books again, are they the same library?
I don't know. I think the reason for the long library name is so people get too distracted. It's a red herring, folks.
Yeah, it really is.
Do not okay. get distracted by Mary Lou and the County District Historical Landmark Library.
Don't get distracted by our library facts, because we have one exciting one left about yes. this place.
You want it?
Yeah, sure. So, something called the Crazy Eights incident ended in Kenton, Ohio. This incident was also known as the CSX 8888 incident, which
also
the
known
movie
as the worst porno ever.
Yeah, right. 8888. But yeah, the movie Unstoppable. So the movie Unstoppable was based on this incident. So it was a runaway train. That was transporting a bunch of hazardous chemicals. Like, this chase ended in Kenton, Ohio. And basically what happened was this train engineer was, like, moving a train around the train yard. So he had, like, the air brakes disabled. And then as he was, like, moving it, he noticed a switch up ahead, which was incorrectly aligned. So he jumped out of the train and ran forward to flip the switch. And then because of the way he set it up, I tried to figure out what was going on. But basically, because the air brakes were disabled and he hit the brake, those functions, when you have the air brakes off, it actually generates speed. So I guess you put like thrust into the air brake or you put it into acceleration. And he had it toggled the wrong way. So he jumped out, flipped the switch, and by the time he tried to come back into the train just took off. And this train, carrying a bunch of hazardous chemicals and with no one driving it, was riding for 2 hours at up to 50 miles per hour just through Ohio. And it was like a huge incident. Like, everyone was worried about it. And they actually, like, they had police who tried to shoot a gun at, like, a fuel tank shut off, like, switch on the outside of the train. Like, there's a video of a guy shooting a shotgun at this moving train. People tried to jump on it and stop it, but what they ended up doing was they finally had like a crew and a second train who came up behind it and like coupled to it, and then they like went to the front and they slowed it down enough that someone could jump on and actually stop it. But watch the movie Unstoppable. Yeah. It's the whole thing, but more dramatic.
Denzel Washington. And I do want to throw out this theory of how the train actually stopped.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage shows up and stops the train by lulling it to sleep with his marble, meaty marble, dry cut voice.
He solved a national mystery that would just happen to be how to stop a train.
That's high praise. You don't, you wouldn't get that reference because you don't watch SNL.
No, Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg used to do this impression. That's high praise. I can't do it right. I'm not. I'll get it better before the end of the episode.
Okay. All right. Do you have a sponsor this week?
My sponsor is Hydration. People are like, who do you say hi to in the morning? And I'm like, Dration.
Hello, Dration.
No, it doesn't work. Hi. No hey, no hello, just hi.
Morning, Dration. Howdy, Dration. Today I'm sponsored by the Don't Quit Your Day Job podcast. Go check it out. Give it a listen.
Yeah. Love those self-plugs.
It's the one with the white picture and the pink and yellow letters. It also says colors. My name on there. Yeah.
Okay. yeah.
Now it's time for Goblin Gallery.
Bum, 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 bum.
What do you got for us this week? What'd you hastily come up with?
Oh, you're going to love it. I want to do my review of live reaction to your history facts.
Okay. All right.
I want to fill the role. Buffalo Bill this. I want to get into the skin. Why am I going down the creepiest roads recently with this? Okay. It's very interesting to hear the facts in live time. And sitting as a listener, there are things that I realized, like questions that jump up. And the gaps between them are train track size.
Yep.
Which means you can make the jump if you enjoy the trip. But if it's off the rails, you need a star. You need a star. Like Denzel Washington. Or Chris Pine. Or Dreamboat. Or Maxim Allen Photography. To help get
you there.
Is this
a poem? Is this a poem?
Isn't life just a poem? Isn't life just one large, long motorcycle ride? Isn't life just movie after movie after movie after movie with one Oscar about Las Vegas? The movie itself, not the Oscar. Do you know what this is?
Totally improvised.
This is me getting to the mind of Nicolas Cage. That's high praise.
This is what happens when we record late. Late at night, late in the week.
Yeah. Nick Cage. That's where we landed on that.
Okay. Well, here you go. You're going to be excited for my Goblin Gallery then, because this is 3 ways to start an improv scene in Kenton, Ohio.
Okay. I see we're taken from the same notebook this time.
Yep. Yep. Oh my God. Scene one. Wait. If this is a library, why are you drilling my teeth?
My wife, she left me. That's why I'm here. I had to change my career as I was no longer welcomed in the library.
I'm not licensed as a dentist. They took all my books away.
Wait, is that you, Mary Lou, under the anesthesia? I bet Mary Lou's very nice. I should read up. I'll research her for next time. I'm sure she's a great inspiration. Of course she is. She has a library named after her. So,
okay. Scene two. Oh my God, this train cannot stop. If we stop it too abruptly, all of us will die. No, this is not the plot of Snowpiercer. That would be a bad way to start an improv scene.
Were you multiple characters?
No, I was one guy. I was an improv 101 student doing a scene for the first time and over explaining the details.
I want to, before you get into your third one, share a quick story. I feel like listeners deserve it.
Go for it.
If they have made it this far. So I was in 101 around the same time as you, and my teacher was great. She would offer a lot of notes. And one time I was doing a scene with a guy, and it got off to a really rough start. It basically, he was like, the third line was like, "What happened to your wife?" And she's like, "Okay, stop. I want to leave a note. Like, we shouldn't jump to this side. We need to ease into the scene a bit more. We shouldn't go that far." She goes, "Okay, so let's start again. Connor, pick up where you left off." And I just go, "My wife's dead." And it got the biggest laugh. My teacher rightly corrected. She's like, "Fight the instinct to just get the laugh. Don't ruin the scene."
It's crazy because as a stand-up, I found myself doing that all the time in class. I'm like, I am diving for this laugh. I'm putting everyone else on the line, and I'm gonna drive this punchline home.
All right, what's the third way?
Okay, the third way is, welcome to our tribe.
Hey.
We plan to torture you for many days. This is the horse that you will be tied to. His name is Dreamboat.
Dreamboat, you say? Well, sign me up for this. I get to name a town after myself in 30, 40, 50 years, don't I?
Well, guess what, motherfuckers? If I survived, you're going to remember my name.
And you're going to have 5 state highways come right to me.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We are going to overdevelop the roadways over here so hard.
What's the horse? I like the horse's name. He seems like a good steed.
Yeah, it's better than Penis McBuddy. Which in my mind is a horse with like a horse-sized penis and like a huge butt.
That's a horse whose parents had a sense of humor.
Yeah. They're like, quit horsing around. Get your hooves off your dick, Penis McBuddy. Oh no, I'm
it's
so
like, hey,
sorry.
How
everyone.
Do you how do you know my stuffed horse's name is Dick? Well, Richard, but I call him that for short.
Actually, my full name is Richard, but I go by Penis. Oh my God.
I don't know if you saw, I tried doing my first comedy tweet the other day.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
My timeline is so full and you have so few followers that it just zipped right by. Boom, roasted.
Said, this funny thought made me laugh the other day. The first nickname was Nick. Happy Monday, everyone. I love that thought. I'll develop it into a joke.
Yeah, that's right up your alley.
Oh, 100%. Not anymore. My style's... I want to... There's still a spot for them, but less so these
You're
days.
Like, I'm a jerking off comedian now.
I just have stories. Oh, that's... My headphones. Well, is there anything else that you want to say before we hit the road?
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. If you really like me but don't like Connor so much, check out I Hate Connor Cafiace in the podcast. No, check out Don't Quit Your Day Job. It's just a fun interview show. You're going to learn a lot of stuff. It's just a good hang. So tune into that.
Yeah. Yes. I haven't listened to the first episode yet, but I want to. So bad. So bad. And I like Caleb's been on this podcast. I told Max I'm more interested in learning about fashion, want to develop my style a little bit. So I will use my plug to plug Maxim's plug. Here's the outlet. We got three prongs. I said plug three times. Listen to Don't Quit Your Day Job.
Thank you. Yeah, and Connor will definitely be on it in a few episodes.
And just if you're trying to find out how to listen to this podcast, what you should do as you're falling asleep, right before you get into that slumber, just go, boats.
Boats.
And then the dream boat will pull it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Penis McBuddy and Dreamboat, bringing you our small town facts. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it.
Wah, wah, wah.
Flush. Good night.
Good night.